She's winding up. She's getting to second, but Pride of Jenny at the 200. My goodness, 15 in front. Declan Bates goes for the whip, riding a ride out. There's no need. This is a demolition job. Pride of Jenny in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. My, oh, my.
G'day, everybody. Triple J Racing Weekly. It's a pleasure to be back on the airwaves again with Bryce Parker from up in Queensland. Not at a wedding venue tonight, mate, but how's things going up there?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. I had a good week so far. All was going well. Beautiful weather up here. Now I think we're getting back into spring, and now the sunshine's come back out up my way, mate. So Stoll's the big races, which I'm sure we'll be touching on. How are you doing?
Yeah, bloody oath, mate. Well, you've got good weather up there, and I've got terrible weather down here near Kembla Grange. We had wind gusts of up to 80 kilometres an hour yesterday, and everyone's missing some stuff out of their backyards. And jeez. I'm sure the horses have been having fun at Kembla Grange, but should be clear for the weekend, hopefully, and dry weather. And as you mentioned, mate, some exciting races on the weekend. We've got the San Domenico Stakes at Rose Hill, Group 3 for the 3-year-olds, up and coming as well, and the Group 1 Memsey Stakes down there at Caulfield. So really looking forward to that. But mate, before we get started, listeners want to know how that wedding went last weekend, and was there a party late into the night, or how did it end up?
Yeah, it was good, mate. Went really well. It was quite a tame wedding, actually, that had only about 40 people. So a bit of a smaller one, but good crowd, everyone on the dance floor the whole time. Wrapped up nice and early, given it was a Thursday. And then I had to DJ the rest of the weekend. So the party went on Saturday night.
Beautiful, mate. Sounds good. Well, one party that did go on last weekend was Jolie Star from the Chris Waller camp, winning that show quality over 1,200 metres. Mate, dead set. How good was that? I'm pretty sure I jizzed at the 200 when that horse peeled out and just dead set scooted past. And then J-Mac looking up at the screen. It was just one of them races where you just look and you just admire what you saw. And I'm sure you were impressed, mate. What did you think of that?
It reminded me of that win Espiona had years back in the midweeks, where I thought this thing could be anything. Eased down. Yeah, one of the better wins I've seen in a long time. I thought that our Coberson was probably getting a little bit wrapped up by some people with Everest talks. I wasn't quite sure about that. But yeah, mate, you can only beat what's ahead of you. And it wasn't a bad field at all. And you just don't win any easier than that, do you? I mean, if you put the stick to it and gave it a red hot crack, it would have won by 7-8 lengths. So it was a damn good win. It's a very impressive.
Yeah, well, exactly right. And when you went and looked at the clock, mate, she had a 32.71 last 600. The 4 to 200 sectional was 10.49, and obviously, you know, J-Mac looking up at the screen, she's come home in 11.18 seconds with a race time of 1:09. You know, that is Everest times. I know it was a good track out there, but I think, geez, she has to come into calculations now. And I think the Everest this year, like the last couple of years, we've had those horses, the 6, 7, 8 year old sprinters, and then we've had Eduardo and Nature Strip, obviously, at 9 and 10 years old as well. But I think there's a new crop coming through. So you think Jolie Stark would measure up in an Everest off the back of that?
Yeah, I think so, mate. I mean, it's a bit hard to gauge, but the clock doesn't lie. And I guess visually super impressive. We'll see what happens next few runs. But yeah, it's got to be up there, doesn't it? I mean, I haven't seen a better win for a while, so it's got to be a contender.
I think Chris Waller might have a sneaky 3-year-old on the way up to the Everest as well that I might mention later in the podcast, but I could be off my head on that one as well. Mate, horse to follow. Have you got another horse to follow out of recent race meetings?
Yeah, Federer. I don't think too many people missed it yesterday. Backed off the map. It was good. I mean, the meeting got called off not long after because of the winds. But yeah, won by 6 lengths for anyone that missed it. Didn't get out of second gear. Probably could have won by 10 plus. Just super, super impressive win. It didn't beat much. But yeah, it's a good horse. It's one to follow. It jumped up in the weights and it just looked like it was about 4 grades above where it was. So I'm keen to see that in Saturday, Graham. Great, mate. I think definitely follow that.
Well, there's a mate of mine in a racing group chat that's pumping the tyres up big time on Federer and thinks that might be the next big thing. So he'll be happy to hear your thoughts on that horse there, mate. My horse to follow is Erno's Cube. I thought she was absolutely huge on the weekend from a wide draw and just had to cover the most ground in the field. Savaged the line, obviously did her best work from the 6 to 200 metres and still had the second fastest last 200. And as I said, just Mark Zara had to eat his medicine and go back from the wide draw and come down the outside. And I mentioned to followers on my Telegram service that this horse will be winning a major or two this preparation. I think that's the case. And obviously, you know, Manal was probably a little bit disappointing there. And it was interesting to hear Corey Brown's comments in the yard suggesting that Manal just hasn't grown from a two-year-old to three-year-old season. So that's an interesting one, mate. I want to know your thoughts on the Tab Highway on Saturday, because we've got a Triple J Racing runner going around, one of our exciting up-and-coming horses. So have you got any opinion of that, or did you get a chance to do the form on the highway?
Yeah, no, I actually left the highway this week, mate. I did have a decent look at it, but it's and I usually like to really have a stab at them, but this is pretty bit of a tricky one with just about all of them are different form lines. So I'm steering clear this week, mate, but I can see it's your runner's reasonably in the market.
Yeah, he is. He's a third line of betting, which surprised me a little bit when I first had a look at it, but he is a horse that we've got a lot of time for and the stable have a big opinion of, obviously by Jard D'Argento, and he did win a nice trial up there in Sydney, beat Switzerland home in a trial and had a, you know, a reasonably good first preparation. And obviously last time around, he finished second at Wagga over the 1,200. A filly called Snow in May beat him home that day. They put absolutely panels on the rest of the field by six lengths, and Snow in May won today at Newcastle. So we were happy to see that. And he jumped out of that Wagga performance to win on the home track at Goulburn against older horses over the 1,500. And the stable thought enough of him to head up to Eagle Farm to take on the listed Phoenix and only finished 4.2 lengths off there on a very hot day and things like that. But he's returned in great order. He's had two trials this time around. I do think he's been given a monumental task on the weekend from Barrier 18 at Rose Hill, which is not easy to overcome. But we're really, really excited to see what he can do over the sort of the next 6 to 12 months, really, and it all starts on Saturday. So hopefully we have a good first up run for the preparation and go on from there. From a betting perspective, I think he is the right price. I wouldn't want him any shorter in the market just because he is first up and he's got a terrible draw. But we wouldn't be shocked at all if he did run over the top and get the job done, because we've got a lot of time for him. So really looking forward to that. And as I just touched on, mate, Rose Hill, good four we're expecting. The rail's 2 metres. And I think I know how you're going to suggest the track might play on the weekend, but you can let listeners know anyway. What are you thinking?
Yeah, just before I do, I did see Snow in May win today. So, yeah, good form line there, mate. I think it'll be a good chance. I guess only problem is should run well, mate. Good luck with Calzini. I will stick with on pace. I think learning the lessons, and it just seems to be the way to go. But look, I'd like a fair track. I do have one at what I think we said was a very fair track, Kembla, for us this weekend. I'm glad they're racing there again. But yeah, I'm going on pace, mate. What about you?
Yeah, I think so as well. I just think there's been a lack of rain over the place for a good fortnight now, and usually that means that, you know, we'll be seeing an on pace track there at Rose Hill. We haven't seen it for a while, but you know, as I said, we're getting the dry deck. It goes out 2 metres. I don't think it'll be too bad. I think the first couple of races might play on pace. But the one interesting thing is about these races too, later on in the day, there's a couple of races where there's some serious tempo involved. You know, I think there's one race, Waterhouse has two or three in it. So I think they'll be tempo related, mate, and I think they can make up ground. But you've got one for listeners in the first race of the day, the 1800 metre midway. Who do you like there?
Yeah, I'm going with Arts, James McDonald in super form. No luck last start, and then thought the first up run was just dusting off the cobwebs. Just think its form's good enough for this. It tends to mix it. Yeah, it's had a few shocker runs, but you sort of look on early doors when it found a heavy track. I remember the day it was $26 in open grade. It just absolutely smoked them. So I just reckon getting out and trip here, it's got some really good form lines. It's a bit tricky to gauge this horse because it's had a few runs where it's sort of lost by huge margins, and then its last start was luckless. So I think it's a bit of a rocks or diamonds kind of runner. But Barrier 6 and J-Mac, I think there's decent intent by the stable there booking him. And for a race of this depth, midway, I think it might just, yeah, it'd be pretty hard to beat, I think. Do you have any thoughts in this?
Yeah, I agree with you, and I was very close to making it a discussion horse on the podcast as well. Like you said, dropping in grade, barrier six there, J-Mac goes aboard. But the one thing that did hold me back was exactly what you said. There has been a few inconsistent runs there, but a lot of these horses are 64s going up to 72 grade or 72 and been batting around. This horse is dropping down from 78 to 72 and got the runs on the board, J-Mac on. So I think you're on the money there, mate, and it will be my selection on the website later on. Race two for me, benchmark 78 over the 1500 meters. I'm really keen on Viviere. She was very heavy in the market first up over 1300 meters a couple of weeks ago, and Mark Zara was actually down for the one ride in Sydney, and I think that obviously put a bit of pepper into that price, but torrential rain hit and the horse was actually scratched and then fronted up over the 1200 meters a week later. I thought the run was pretty good. I just think it was too short. There was too much tempo in the race early and she obviously found one or two sharper. 1500 meters now against her own sex, barrier six, J-Mac. I just think it's a great setup and obviously going to travel much smoother with the softer speed over the 1500. I think she's too good for these. I do want to say that she's also in the first at Caulfield, but wherever she goes, she's a bet for mine. I think she can win the first at Caulfield or the second race here. So I'm pretty keen on her. Did you have an opinion of that one?
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. I jumped off Zeros, if that's how you say it, after being really keen on it fresh when it won with 61 kegs. I was, spewing I didn't stick with it, which it was a really good win last start. So that's probably the danger. But yeah, I really agree with you. I've tipped Viviere as well for all the reasons you just said. First up was just a bit too short. And I do remember the day that Zara was booked. They came for it, mate. It was back like it had already crossed the line. Cross the line like Jolly Star. So yeah, it'd be hard to beat here. And J Max on fire. He's just riding so many winners lately. So backing him in, you can't really go wrong too often, can you?
Absolutely. And race four is a 2000 meter race, benchmark 78. Who do you like here?
Mate, I feel sick saying his name because I won on him at double figures twice, and then he's been absolutely horrific since. But Aristonas, I don't know what's happened, but his first two wins were enormous. His off speed pattern's annoying, but his win at Newcastle, I was on him at $13, and it was such a good win. And then came out, did it again at Randwick at tens. So I've got a soft spot for him there. And then I went over the longer trips, and I thought his run at Caulfield. I remember that day. Went in, I think he sat about 15 lengths off them and ran fourth. He was, I think I got the place at about $1.60, $1.70. So it was well backed, but he ran fourth and he settled in another postcode. So I just think he's gone off the boil a bit. But if you just look at his 2000 meter form, I mean, he just missed Magna Spin second up last prep. He had a run in a BM88 where it was two lengths off floating. So I just think he's worth the risk here at the price. Like, the last time he was over 2400, he started $2.50 or $2.25. So he's always heavy in the market. He was $5 resuming. It's just a heavy track. It was way too short for him. But yeah, I think he can give this a shake. He ended up finishing off last prep, 4 lengths off See What I See. That might be good enough form for this, mate. And even though he's very hard to catch in his patterns, it just sucks. But he's $12 right now. I think I can entertain him at that.
Yeah, I'd feel sick as well mentioning his name, and I know the exact race you're talking about that day because I was on as well, and I was very confident that day, and I definitely lost money. But yeah, like you said, the price is right, and the horse has the right form over the distance. So if you can put it all together on the weekend, it'd be great, mate. I just want to have a bit of a discussion about the San Domenico Stakes, obviously Group Three for the 3-year-olds. Well, I think it's absolutely cracking race on the weekend. But it's just two different sort of types of horses here. You got the Storm Boy, who's had the six career starts. He's obviously a horse that won the BJ McLaughlin, then won the Magic Millions 2-year-old Classic Listed, won the Group 2 Skyline, third in the Slipper and fourth in the Sire's Produce. And I do remember when he didn't win the Slipper, you know. You look back on a horse who's got that record there and ran third in the Slipper, you think, what an achievement. But everyone was sort of potting the horse after that. And I just think it's incredible that they were. I know that he's trialed extremely well leading in here. I think he's going to be very, very, very fit. His last trial, he was asked for an effort, did the job. But as I said, that horse has sort of had a lot of two-year-old racing. And the other horse that I really like, I think you like him as well, is Gatsby's. He's only had three career starts, which his debut was at Canterbury, and then he had a bit of a flat run in the lead-up to the Slipper, and the stables opted to just tip him straight out. But he obviously trialed really nicely leading into the Rosebud performance a fortnight ago. And again, it had a little bit of Joel Leistar about it, the way that J-Mac had a bit of a look at the big screen, eased him down over the line. He's a horse that gets better second up. I love these horses that get these wins first up when they're eased down over the line. You know, they haven't had a gut buster, they've just got the result. They feel fresh. They probably have a couple of quiet days after, then they get back into their work. Mate, well, I've got this sneaky feeling in my head that this horse might do something special on the weekend, and put his hand up for a Golden Slipper as a 3-year-old. I don't know that 3-year-olds have won the Slipper before, and they do get really good weight relief in the it, sorry in the Everest. They get really good weight relief in the Everest. But the only thing about this race is if we have that on-speed bias, Storm Boy is going to be in front and Gatsby is going to be at the rear. So I'm really, really interested to hear if you have any opinion of that race.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna back and have a decent crack on Storm Boy because, I mean, it's not his fault because he's a horse, but everyone was touting him like the second coming of Frankel. And as you said, mate, like he started at $2.60, and then $2. Like there was raps that he was just the next best thing. And to be fair, I mean, he lost by a length and a half, and everyone was disappointed. And you look at the field, Lady of Camelot, has come out and really franked that, and I think Coleman's got stacks upside, and then just hit a heavy deck and probably had enough that prep and just didn't really like the conditions. I mean, aside from that, his other four wins were brilliant. His 2 out of 2 aboard with Hieronymus, and I think he's the right price here. I mean, yeah, it wasn't his fault. He got huge raps, but I really do think he can bounce back and show people what he was. And I think losing by a length and a half to Lady of Camelot as a $2.60 starter is nothing to be ashamed of. So, yeah, it's a cracking race. It's definitely a race in two. Gatsby's no knock on it. But, yeah, any on-pace bias, I think Stormboy's going to be so hard to beat. And, yes, he's yeah, I think he's got a stack of talent. I think he just got touted a bit too much.
Well, his worst career performance was fourth in the Sire's Produce at the end of a long preparation where he would have targeted the Golden Slipper, and I think it was a heavy track. He's a freak
Yeah,
of
it
a horse,
was.
and if he bounces back and hasn't been worked too hard at a young age, I think he's probably got a lot of 3-year-old racing in him before he goes off to be a have some children, I believe. But race 7 is the up and coming stakes. I think that you might have had a selection here, but even if you didn't, this is the race I was talking about where there was a huge amount of pace in the race with Wanarua, Axius, Shangri-La Express. They'll be all rolling forward. And then you've obviously got that $1.8 million filly, the Autumn Glow, who probably sits off him. And well, I certainly couldn't go around her, I don't believe. I think there's a massive rap that's overhyped, but she gets the setup with the speed. What were you thinking here?
Yeah, I was yeah, $1.75 is probably a multi one for me. It's nothing I want to go chips in, but I thought it was a mention that I think it'll win 53 kilos. I like Wanneroo, I've got time for it, and then I think the race falls apart a little bit. All of these have talent, like Axius has Gatsby's form. It's a good field, but yeah, I was pretty impressed with what Autumn Glow did. I wouldn't want too much short up, but I think it'll win. But only yeah, it's got K-Mac aboard, so you know my affinity with him.
Well, yeah. Well, one thing listeners should go and do is watch the replay of Autumn Glow coming down the straight. The filly had no idea what she was doing with her leg. She swapped her running leg a couple of times in the straight there and did all that on natural ability. So the minute the penny drops with that horse and she works out exactly what she's doing, I think that there'll be something special there. And the horse beat some fit horses that day as well. So Really excited to see how she goes. I think the price is a little bit how you're going with a Rose Hill setup, but it'll be a watch for me, but really interested to see how the race goes. Race nine, mate, benchmark 88, 1200 meters. I'm really keen on She's an A-lister, $7 and $2.40, with my stock standard one times three play. But she's obviously a chestnut mare. Had a very, very stylish first start win with a huge weight, 61 kilos, before she remained on the inside on the day where every jockey was sort of fighting to get to the outside lane. And last start had to duck and weave in the Missile Stakes. And I want to know what price Schwartz would be here. I just think she's a ridiculous price at the 7 and $2.40. Barrier three will jump out and sit just behind the speed. She'll have every chance, and Rachel knows the horse. I just think the horse has been performing well every run this preparation. And did you have any thoughts there?
No, I'm just looking at it now though. I could see what you're saying, mate. It's yeah, some good points you've made. I'll be having something on.
Yeah, beautiful, mate. I went through them and had a close look at all four of those replays. And that day where she stayed on the inside there was a meeting that I've had a little bit of success out of. I tipped up World Alliance last week at the $9 or $10 as my value play for the weekend, and that was a really good result in the last. So hopefully She's an A-lister can back that up. And I just want to mention Headwall in race 10, benchmark 78, 1110 meters, $4. He's a 5-year-old who's had plenty of issues. But he's also had eight starts for four wins and four placings. You've got to be a very good horse to do that. And there's never been knocking his ability. Last start at $3.50 was like dead set giving candy away for free. And I took a good chunk of that candy. He won by three lengths. His pattern suggested he improved second up. And another big tick at the moment is Zach Waddick taking 3 kilos off. It's a very, very positive thing for any horse. He's going really, really well, that young Zachy. And I just think from the draw, Headwall sit midfield, and I think he can get over the top of these and progress to better heights. And I just hope that he has that preparation that he's been sort of, threatening to do for quite some time. He's just had a couple of issues. So, did you like Headwall in the last, mate, or get around to that race?
Oh, I haven't checked out that race, mate. But yeah, Headwall's going well this prep for sure.
Beautiful. Caulfield now, mate. Good four. Rails in the true position. Before we get into it and talk on selections, you got any thoughts on how that track will play?
Not too sure, to be honest. Yeah, it's again sort of on speed suited, but yeah, I tends to play pretty reasonably fair. I tend to think. What about you, mate?
Yeah, I think so as well. I was sort of hoping and thinking there might be a little bit of on-speed bias here, but no, I'll be going into this open-minded again. And I think right now is a good thing for racing. Like, we've finally got back into that period of time where we're getting good weather around a couple of venues, and we can actually treat all these horses the same, and not be sort of finding excuses for them all after a couple of races. But mate, I think we both like one in race two, and I'm interested to see if we're on the same horse. So I'll let you roll your selection out first.
Yeah, I'm with the favorite. I think aren't great, but all its runs have been really good. The form around Rise at Dawn's good. I just think this is, yeah, he's got really good upside. He could be better than these, I think. Now, I don't mind the way the open's going, but that's sort of a midweek to Saturday grade horse, and then step aside. Bit hard to catch, and the race falls apart from there. So I think Craig takes plenty of beating, mate. 360 looks over the odds.
Craig was the horse that I was umming and ahhing about, and then sort of struggled to tip against. But I was gonna tip up Step Aside last week, and I just wanted to stick with the horse this week. I thought he had the best run of his preparation last start when he finished third, and that was out of the 1600 meters. I know they opt to go back a furlong here to the 1400, but he's certainly a dry track horse. He gets a good setup here. Barrier two should get a lovely run in behind the speed. And hopefully get exposed late. Fitness is starting to peak now at the back end of the preparation. And Blake Shinn, I just love the booking of Blake Shinn. And I just think right now, Blake Shinn in Melbourne and J-Mac in Sydney, and J-Mac's been like this in Sydney for quite some time. You find a horse on the weekend that you're keen on Saturday, you like, you look at the jockey who's riding, you're always looking to see what J-Mac's on and what Blake Shinn's on as well. And you're having a real good look there to see if they've just got something. Just because they're obviously the best riders at the moment. But yeah, I really love Step Aside, mate, with Blake Shinn aboard from the inside draw. Race three is 1800 meter benchmark 78. I like a horse called Rise to It. You just mentioned the Rise to It form with Craig in the last race too there. Again, I thought he had his best run for the preparation last start as well, and he had to do it very, very tough. He chased the tearaway leader. I think it was Vegas Knight, but he basically carted up the rest of the field into the race, and then he was pipped very late on the line by Star Vega, who ran second at the Valley last week. Didn't win, but I think it ran very well last weekend. They've given him a month between runs and dropped him back a furlong to the 1800 metres. I think doing that off the back of a gut bust is absolutely perfect. Barrier one should find the lead. I think Rise to It's going to be really hard to beat with Jamie Carr aboard at the $4 price. You have any opinion of that race?
Yeah, spot on, mate. I'll watch how Craig goes, and if he wins, I'll be straight on the Rise to It.
Beautiful, mate. What about race six, 1200 meter McNeil Stakes?
Yeah, this is a cracker. I actually like Wonderboy to place because you've got smallish field. I think he's got the measure of a few of these. And if you go watch his last start run, really unlucky. He charged to the line. He was a bit slow out. He came across Let's Face the Music and Band of Brothers. And I can confidently say, mate, he can beat both of those here. He had no luck whatsoever and charged, only beaten by half a length. So up in trip, he's at the moment 220 to place. And realistically speaking, I think he only needs to beat those two to be placing. So best bet for the weekend for me, mate, is for him to run a drum. If he's slow out, at least he's drawn wide and he can just have a last crack at them. I don't know if he'll win. I think the two favourites here are quite smart, but I'm pretty confident he can run top three, and I'm sure he's got the measure of the other two that he faced off last start. So yeah, Wonderboy to place, mate, at 220's superb.
I like it, mate. I like it a lot. Have you got any opinion of the Group One down there, the Memsie?
It's one of those ones, isn't it? How do you knock Pride of Jenny? That last prep was as good as you'll see for a horse, and then Mr. Brightside's five out of five track and trip. So it is a dead set race in two. I'd be shocked if, to be honest, if Fantino rolled them, as good as that horse is, and Gentleman Roy's flying. But yeah, mate, I think it's Mr. Brightside, Pride of Jenny. It's a heck of a matchup. I probably am just going to back Jenny because of her on-pace patterns, and I just have had a good luck with her. But yeah, she's never won fresh, and Mr. Brightside's five out of five track and trip. So, oh, it's a heck of a race, mate. What do you think?
What a combination that is, Declan Bates and Pride of Jenny. And I might mention, Pride of Jenny is still the intro horse to our podcast at the moment. So, it'll be really interesting. Obviously, the horse can just do some wild things, and I do think it's going to be suited on the weekend, obviously with the dry track. But what's good about Pride of Jenny at the moment after that performance where she just bolted in front, got out in front? You saw the form, Frank, last weekend with Via Sestina coming out and winning. You can't get better form, but what do these other horses and what do these other riders do if Declan Bates takes off again? Do they get him out of their comfort zone? Do they chase? Do they let the horse go? Like Mr. Brightside, he's probably the one that's going to be the one that can chase up on speed or sit in behind. So it's going to be interesting. I thought there was a little bit of value around Antino at the each way. I know that I'd probably be a little bit shocked as well if he was able to get over the top of the other two, but maybe first up, Pride of Jenny. I know you look at Antino's record, he's been jumping out very, 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 very nicely. On a dry track, he's got 7 wins from 13 starts. He's obviously 10 wins from 17 career starts. I think the Golden Camp are really serious with him this time around. But mate, the biggest thing about that race is just how exciting it is to have good racing again and heading into the Spring Carnival. On that note, have you got any other runners from around the grounds?
Oh, no, I think that'll do it, mate. I reckon that's a heck of a batch. We look locked and loaded.
Beautiful. Well, before we go, for those who are looking in to find my selections on the weekend, you just go on www.triplejracing.com.au. My selections get posted every Friday evening, and they usually get updated post scratching Saturday morning. And for yours, mate, if punters want to get a hold of your selections, where do they head?
Yeah, backawinner.com.au. Smart B as well. So find both of those on there. If you go on SmartBeat, it'll give you the odds comparisons for my selections. You'll find previews for all the big features. Joe's fantastic at her tipping. She's got plenty up there as well. She covers the track, so I don't. So yeah, go check them out over there.
Beautiful, mate. And we made an exciting purchase the other day. We got a 4-year-old from the Golan camp, Perigean. He's just arrived in New South Wales. He's got about another 7 to 10 days spelling at the paddock and then coming into a preparation with Danielle Cyber Goulburn. And we're going to aim him up at the Tab Highway series and hopefully see him in Sydney like Duke Calzini this weekend. And we've got shares available in that horse for a pretty good price. So if anyone's interested, just get on our social media pages and flick us a message. But again, Bryce, thanks very much, mate. Really excited about the weekend's racing and good luck with your selections.
Thanks, mate. Likewise.